for church used in the New Testament is ecclesia, and that is the called out ones. And we have been called out of the kingdom of darkness. All of us who were once there, you're not born saved. And we've been called out of that kingdom of darkness into God's beautiful and holy kingdom. And I think tonight just such a special time in worship where I don't know always what it is, what we're sensing. I think sometimes it's just, we're just sensing that the Lord is just really pleased with what we're doing as we're glorifying His name. And I think we don't live for those feelings. Just the good thing is just to worship the Lord. That is the good thing. But in His grace, He sometimes meets us there. And we can't always explain it, and I don't think we need to. I don't think we need to explain the nitty-gritties of every single thing that happens amongst us, because God's kingdom is here with us, but it is His kingdom, and it makes perfect sense to Him, and we surrender and yield ourselves to Him completely in that, and actually enjoy the benefits, the beauty of His kingdom in complete peace in our hearts, that God is with us and we are with Him. So in opening tonight, let's turn to Matthew 12 from verse 28. It's a small portion from where Sean read last week, and I'd like just to highlight a specific verse from this section. So Matthew 12, verse 22 to 28. All right, so from verse 22, then a demon-possessed man who was blind and couldn't speak was brought to Jesus. He healed the man so that he could both speak and see. The crowd was amazed and asked, could it be that Jesus is the son of David, the Messiah? But when the Pharisees heard about the miracle, they said, no wonder he can cast out demons. He gets his power from Satan, the prince of demons. And I love how Jesus just answers them, just logically, if you think about this, Pharisees, it can't be that. So Jesus says to them, any kingdom divided by civil war is doomed. A town or family splintered by feuding will fall apart. And if Satan is casting out Satan, he is divided and fighting against himself. His own kingdom will not survive. And if I am empowered by Satan, what about your own exorcist? They cast out demons too, so they will condemn you for what you have said. But, and this is the focus for tonight, if I am casting out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has arrived among you. And surprise, surprise, we know that Jesus was casting out demons through the Spirit of God. It's one of those incredibly profound pieces of scripture, but this just makes good sense. Like, yes, of course God was driving out, or Jesus was driving out demons by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the beautiful thing, or rather a beautiful thing of the word that is used for kingdom in the New Testament, it's the word basileia in Greek. And it doesn't just refer to a piece of land where there's a king reigning over that, but rather it refers to the rule and reign and sovereignty of God. And it refers to the place where that rule, reign, and sovereignty are received happily. Man, and do we receive the rule, reign, and sovereignty of God in our lives happily? Where would we be without the rule and reign of God in our lives? And referring or going back to the time with you, and actually it was an incredible time where we saw a lot of deliverance, a lot of people set free in our own hearing of people set free from things that they've actually struggled with for so many years. God touching the depths of people's hearts in places that they themselves don't even necessarily know how to unpack. But we see those kind of things. We see it by the work of the Spirit amongst us. And by God's own choosing, we see that especially when we gather. We see a special outworking of God amongst us. We see a special work of the Spirit amongst us when we gather. And it is God's choice that it be that way. And I think also just in looking further than that, when I see something wonderful happening in your life, I'm encouraged. I see a person set free of something that has oppressed them. I mean, when one of the first people came up to be prayed for and the first person cries, I'm like, yes, yes, thank you, Lord. Something is happening. Something is happening. And we see person after person, just the Holy Spirit working in them and setting them free. Beyond that, there is so much more for us, actually, just even in our gatherings. And our, specifically, not our, we, our whole lives, we want to see the Spirit work in every single part of our lives. But tonight, especially just within our midst, there is a way that the Spirit works. And so let's turn to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1 to 11. So Paul writes to the church in Corinth. He says, "Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gave us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. You know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it's the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other." And many of the other translations say, "for the common good." To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still, to another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, whilst another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. And so we go back to what Jesus was saying in Matthew, where he says, if it is by the Spirit of God that these demons are driven out, then the kingdom of God has come. And with that tying into this, that where the Spirit of God is at work, the kingdom of God has come. Not yet in the fullness that we will experience one day when we get to meet Jesus face to face, but we can take heart and great courage that the kingdom of God is amongst us, because we are seeing the Spirit of the works of the Spirit in our midst. And the beautiful thing I love here is that, one, the spiritual gifts are for the benefit of each other. So when we gather, when there's a song, when there's a prophetic word, when somebody gets healed, it's for the benefit of each other. So one of the funny things I've thought, the gift of healing, I've not heard a person go, the gift of healing has really spared me a lot of medical bills. I've not heard that. Can you imagine that person having that gift and going, ah, I've got a sore knee. Okay, Lord, heal my knee. That can happen. That can happen. Absolutely. But that gift is worked in a person by the Spirit for the benefit of another. And so through that, we actually build each other up, not towards ourselves, but towards the Lord, because we know that it's Him who is doing the work in us. And so even practically in our midst, in a meeting like today, we have the time of prayer beforehand at 4:30. And if you haven't made those times of prayers, try your best to be there. We're not just praying that it will go well, like, oh Lord, please don't let the ceiling fall in. We don't want that to happen either, but we are actually, that would be bad, right? That would be really bad. But we are praying for God's kingdom to come amongst us. We are praying for the will of God to manifest amongst us, that whatever we do, that, Lord, this is what you want among us. And in that time, what happens so often is people come forward and they share with the elders that this is the sense that God has put on my heart. And so often what has happened is either at some point, a whole lot of people around that person take great encouragement because they have sensed the same thing from the Lord, and it just stirs up our faith and it leads us to be even bolder amongst each other, which is to great benefit, right? If I go, yeah, the Lord is... Lord is really good. I don't know. Yes. The Lord is good. Yeah. Hey. No. In those times, as we hear what the Lord is putting on each person's heart through prophetic words or words of knowledge, we really don't have to pull those apart. It's just, it's the Holy Spirit that's doing them. It doesn't matter whether it's a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. We don't have to be that technical about it. We don't have to identify exactly which gift it is to know that this is the Spirit of God working in us. And as we hear those words, we take courage to whatever we've prepped, or even the worship team or the guys upstairs, we take courage to do what we're doing with boldness, because God's kingdom is among us. And so I'd really encourage you, come to that time of prayer. Even if it's just to contend together, whether you're praying quietly initially, I would encourage you that you really dig deep, that the Lord would fill you with courage to pray out loud in front of people. It's just we honor the Lord through doing that, going, I'm not afraid, that's the wrong word, but that the fear of man actually does not take hold in our hearts, and that actually we agree with one another as we pray and we build up. In the time of worship, it's well that tonight, that as we're worshiping the Lord, people come forward sharing with the elders a sense that they've had. I feel like the Lord is saying this, or I feel like the Lord wants to do this, or I feel like this is what the Lord might be saying to a specific group of people. And how often in those times has a leader stood up and said, the sense we're getting that there might be a person here, or there might be people here who are struggling with anxiety or struggling with their faith or whatever it might be. And in such a simple yet mysterious way, we see how the gifts actually benefit each other. They are beautifully mysterious, beautifully, and yet so, so simple. And that we take heart from their simplicity. We also see at times of worship and oftentimes where there's just a prayer of faith, somebody coming up and just lifting up the name of the Lord, how that works in every single one of our hearts, actually. How as a person comes and they pray out loud, something happens in our spirits and we go, yes, Lord, we see this thing and you are wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. Or whatever it might be that we know for sure that is the Spirit of God working amongst us. What we also see, and this can give us the heebie-jeebies, but it shouldn't, is when somebody comes and prays in tongues. Some person comes and grabs a mic and shabaka shalaba shara. Somebody goes, oh my word, no. I'm just going to not pretend that that just didn't happen. No, no, no. That is part of the gifts that the Spirit has entrusted to us, actually. It's a sign that God's kingdom has come amongst us. We are given rules with that, or guidance from Paul, and saying that there must be interpretation. Otherwise, we can just say somebody's making noise, right? But we're given those beautiful guidelines that if somebody comes and they pray in an unintelligible tongue, that there must be an interpretation. And so in that time of worship, if you hear somebody grabbing the mic and going, shabaraka shabaraka, don't let your heart actually turn away from what God could be doing. Don't resist what God could be doing in that time. Rather go, Lord, are you helping me interpret this thing? Because he could very well be doing that. Or, Lord, thank you. I'm excited to hear what the interpretation of this word is. As simple as that. As simple as that. As we see these things, that our hearts are lifted up, we're filled with courage that God's kingdom is among us. And we gladly receive it. We are glad when God's kingdom is manifest amongst us when we meet. It's God's grace to us. It's God showing a sense of legitimacy to what we're doing, that he is here. And that's what we want. If he wasn't here, I don't know what we'd be doing, to be honest. We'd be a very big club. We'd be a very big club. But that's not what we want to be. Then in the preach as well, if you are hearing something shared, firstly, if I'm here and I don't know that I've heard from the Spirit, oh my goodness. Even when I have, I'm like, oh, Lord, I hope it's from you. I really do. And I have to take courage that God does speak, that God does speak. But also for those of us receiving, that if you're stirred in your heart, if something in you is it's touching on something in your heart, then you can trust that it's the Holy Spirit at work in you. You can trust it's the Holy Spirit highlighting something for you, to you. It's those times of response, even after the preach, where we see other people coming forward and repenting of something, or they're crying, or the Lord is just filling them with a joy, or whatever it might be. Again, we are seeing the works of the Spirit amongst us, and we are seeing a manifestation of the kingdom of God. I came from, I don't want to call it a denomination, but the church I came from, I think in looking back, had completely neglected the work of the Spirit amongst them during the times that we met. And I can tell you that it is dry. It is incredibly dry. It's not to say that every single time we'll see, I guess fireworks is a good answer. But that's not the thing. We're not looking and saying it must look exactly this way. But we do want to see the work of the Spirit amongst us. We do want to see those miraculous things amongst us. We do. We absolutely do. It's part of our inheritance as the children of God. And I think looking back at that, stepping into a church where the gifts are celebrated and encouraged freaked me out to no extent, like to just even worship for me that people raise their hands. I'm like, oh, my word, that's so weird. I hope they don't expect me to do it. I came from a place where you couldn't even clap during the meetings. You know, now it's utterly absurd to me. Like, why wouldn't we clap? Why wouldn't we glorify God through just applause? You know, why wouldn't we do that? We're clapping hands when somebody shares a testimony because it's God's work. We're celebrating the work of God all over the world. And so in that, like, oh, Lord, we really need this. And we need to embrace it. We really do need to embrace the work of the Spirit amongst us. I think what has happened in the word is overused. But anyway, in Western context, we have drawn from a pool of intellectualism where we just try to evaluate everything based off of how we can make sense of what we're seeing. And we look at a person sharing a prophetic word from the front, calling out specifics, which we don't necessarily see all the time. But I can tell you from moments I've remembered and the prophetic words have been shared here from the front, man, God can be incredibly specific. A lady in the congregation got in a quiet time, I'm not going to necessarily recall it 100% accurately, but this lady got, in a quiet time, the Lord laid a cell phone number on her heart. And she said, okay, Lord, what must I do with this number? Well, phone the number. Phones the number, a lady answers. Easy enough, right? I'm sure any of us can come up with 10 digits and get hold of somebody that way. But what she said to the lady is, I'm not 100% sure what God gave you my number, but I'd love to pray for you. Is there anything I can pray for? And apparently this lady just started crying and weeping, going, I've just so needed to hear that God sees me. You know, and it's like, well, God's got your number. Easy. But in the real sense, God has got your number. But we hear those things, and I think what can happen is we can resist them. We can actually, even as believers, we can resist the miraculous work of the Holy Spirit amongst us. We hear tongues and we go, that is the weirdest thing ever. And to some extent, it is weird. But again, it's the kingdom of God. It doesn't have to make sense to us because it's His kingdom, right? We get a seat at His table, not the other way around. Not that we invite Him to sit at ours. We get to sit at His table and eat of His food and not the other way around. And so in that, as we see these gifts among us, that we celebrate them, that we are really, really glad and encouraged that we see those gifts among us, that we do not resist them. We do not reject the gifts of the Spirit. In fact, that we go so far as to embrace them for ourselves, going, Lord, do you want to use me in this way? And then let the Lord use you in that way. The beauty is that as we gather, whether it's a community or whether it's on a Sunday, that God has put certain things in place to ensure that there is order among the believers. But what that order looks like, we must be careful to form, this is exactly what it looks like, because sometimes it seems like utter bananas amongst us. And then yet, when we reflect on the fruit of what has happened, we go, God was clearly at work. I mean, the time with you, didn't it feel like, not chaotic, but it felt raucous at a stage? God was completely in control. God was not caught off guard by what happened. When those demons manifested, God wasn't going, oh, yes. I didn't think that one was going to happen there. No, it was God who ushered it to begin with. It was God who made it possible to begin with. And that our hearts, that in a Western society, that we don't get caught up in silly intellectualism. It's God has confounded the wise. It says that the angels look at salvation. They long to look into these things as they themselves do not fully understand even the things that we are walking into. If the angels do not understand, we are not going to have a full and complete understanding. But we don't need it. Again, I want to reassure you that we do not need to have all of our I's dotted, all of our T's crossed. We want to see the work of the Holy Spirit amongst us, and we want to take heart in His work amongst us. And then we entrust ourselves to the leaders. We entrust ourselves to the people that God has raised up to keep that order. If something goes a bit wonky, don't worry. There are people that are anointed in themselves by the Holy Spirit to actually help in those moments. And so we don't need to be filled with fear when we see things that are actually out of the ordinary. We don't need to. That's why people come up to the front. You hear them. You see an elder bending over, listening, and maybe nodding, maybe not nodding. That's maybe a good idea to stop talking. I'm joking. But you see that moment. Why? Is that person has felt what they believe is something from the Lord. They're sharing it with the elder. And then it falls on the elder to release that word. And the same in our community groups, that God has raised up people with a gift that is given to them by the Holy Spirit. Again, the Holy Spirit to help with those things. That as we gather on Wednesdays, that it is beautiful, beautiful to spend time on God's word. And when we should spend more time in God's word, but we need to do what it says as well. And so in our own community, I think, I don't know how many months back, do you guys remember how many months back we had discipleship being filled with the Spirit? That's quite a few months back. But we read the chapter in the discipleship manual, being filled with the Holy Spirit. Man, and on my heart, I mean, we were chatting with Thane and Irene and Talia going, we can't move on from this until we've done something. And so the next Wednesday, Katrine, you were there, right? Yes, Katrine was there. We gathered, said, tonight we're going to pray for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And my goodness, did we see God move in our midst. And it was beautiful. And I just worry that we sometimes see the work of the Spirit and we take a step back going, that was nice for then. The Ewan time, that was nice for then. But rather that we live going, Lord, it's going to happen anytime we gather. We live ready. And so when it happens, we embrace it. So I think just even in a simple story of just God's work, how the gifts of the Spirit work. And I think maybe it seems very simple to you, the example I'm going to use. But it is sometimes just that simple. I remember, I think it was last year, maybe around September time. Yes, man. I was so struggling to hear God's voice in actually all aspects of my life. It didn't feel like I was getting any direction from the Lord, about what we're doing on Sundays, about work, about our home life. And yes, I was despondent to such a point I thought, have I treated my wife in a way that has actually started to hinder my prayers? Darling, are you happy? Yes. Okay. Are you sure? You're not just saying that because my prayers, take my prayers seriously. but really, I thought, have I displeased you? And day in and day out, I was just going, Lord, I don't understand why I'm not hearing your voice. I don't understand why I'm struggling to just hear the basics of this is what I want you to do tonight when you gather as communities, or this is what I want you to do today. And I remember walking through there, and Bill was walking slightly ahead of me, and he saw me, and he turned around. He says, the Lord woke me at 2 o'clock last night. I have to give credit where credit's due. And he said, not to worry, because he has heard your prayers. I cannot tell you that in a moment, I felt months, maybe not six, but I felt months of just heaviness lift off of me. And was I stoked to worship that night and to go, Lord, what are you saying for everybody else? Like, I so desire more of this. And in a simple thing. But it was the Spirit that woke him at 2 o'clock. I'm sorry to this day, Bill. I'm sorry for that night. But okay, I'm not sorry. But it was the Spirit of God who woke him. And it told him to share something with me that he did not know that that was a heaviness that I was carrying on my heart. And in a moment, a simple sentence of, the Lord has heard your prayers and you do not need to worry, was absolutely phenomenal for me. What it did for me was incredible. And yet in my heart, I go, okay, cool, great. Like, no, Lord, for others, for the benefit of others. Lord, what are you saying for that person? What are you saying for that person? What are you saying for that person? Not because we want to impress anybody, but because we see how absolutely wonderful the works of the Spirit are amongst us. And so just with a show of hands, who has received a prophetic word which has encouraged them greatly or resulted in big shifts in their own life? Who has received a prophetic word that's encouraged them greatly? Right. Okay, look at them hands. Who has, and if you feel uncomfortable to share this, that's 100%, but who has been delivered from demonic oppression? Come on. Right. Okay. Who has either been healed miraculously or been a witness to a miraculous healing? Look at those hands, guys. You can look around now. That's okay. You can see the hands. Bryson, did you put up your hand? There we go. Yeah. It's like, you better put up your hand. Whose faith has been stirred up by hearing or seeing these things in our midst? Come on, man. That is the kingdom of God amongst us. And so for each of us, when we see the works of the Spirit amongst us, I do believe we have two options. We can either look at it and see it for what it is. It's the work of God. And if it's not, don't worry. Don't worry. God is in the business of helping us through those things. But you can look at it and go, that is the work of God. Praise God. Or we can look at it and be skeptical and actually become cynical. And not to be harsh in any sense, but when we look at those things and we say that is not the work of God, you are actually saying that person is a liar and they're faking it. That's just the reality. I've gone through seasons of deep skepticism about the things that I see, only to know now that, goodness gracious, how the works of God are absolutely amazing. And so we can lean into skepticism instead of the Spirit. But the warning is that skepticism, when it matures, will lead to unbelief. It just will. In the end, you will actually start losing faith in even the most basic of things amongst us. Person gets up, they've had an encounter with the Lord, they want to give their life. Yeah, they just, tomorrow they'll be back. They'll be back on it again. Person shares of a healing. Yeah, I wonder what he's getting out of it. I want to tell you, if you don't know, nobody gets anything out of sharing that they've been healed of anything besides the work of God in their lives. And they're just sharing that God has been good. So let's be a people who cry out, as Jesus says in praise in Matthew 6, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And let us gladly receive his kingdom amongst us. So let's stand. Let's just stand. For all of us in different measures, I think we can take hold of God's kingdom even more by actually going, Lord, show me if there's anything that is actually keeping me back from receiving more and more of your kingdom and being glad to receive it. So I think tonight, as just a corporate response in our hearts, that we respond to this, even if you love the gifts, man, that even in that going, Lord, help me to receive it even more and be glad. Be glad. Do not take for granted that we see these things amongst us. And then we can have our seat. And then I think just even for the other guys, if you have any sort of sense, then you're welcome to grab the mic. Lord, tonight, Lord, as we think of the simple yet miraculous works of your Spirit, given to us to show that your kingdom indeed has come, that your rule and reign and sovereignty is amongst us. Lord, I pray tonight that we would receive it gladly, that, Lord, stir up our hearts to cry out, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Lord, I am glad to receive it. I embrace your kingdom. I embrace the works of your Spirit gladly, and I long for more of it. Lord, not just for myself, but Lord, for those around me, for those that you have added to your kingdom, Lord, as we each of us sit at your table, that we will feast on the things that you've given us, and we will be filled. We will be filled by the things that only you can give, Lord. Help us, Lord. We repent of skepticism, Lord. We repent of skepticism and we entrust ourselves to the pattern that you've given us in the Word. That we can entrust ourselves to the people that you've raised up to even, in a sense, protect us, to shepherd us, Lord. We can entrust ourselves to that. Lord, when we see your Holy Spirit work amongst us, Lord, let us not turn away, but let our eyes, in a sense, glisten. May our hearts overflow with gladness. And Lord, use us to do those very things for one another. Lord, I pray that we would take these things, we would actually bring these things to our times together as believers. We would bring these things on our times together on Sundays, on Wednesdays, Lord, and beyond. That as we're standing with the teller, Lord, is this something you'd want to say? Lord, is this something you'd want to do? Lord, do you want me to pray for that person? Lord, I can trust you for healing. And I hand myself over completely to your Spirit. Lord, we repent of skepticism in our hearts. We repent of it, Lord. May we not lean into our own understanding, but may we yield ourselves completely to your will and your ways. In Jesus' name, amen.